Wow. Well, we've been in this fantastic series called Illuminate, and we've been talking about the power of God's Word, and our prayer has been, God, show us what I've never seen so I can go where I've never gone and do what I have never done. And we've been looking at the power of God's Word. In week one, we talked about how the power of God's Word is seen like a light. It illuminates our path. In the second week, we talked about how God's Word is like milk. It brings nutrients and sustenance to our soul and to our body. Last week, it was the breath of God. This morning, I want to talk about the Word of God as a sword, as a weapon. A lot of times, we don't think about the Word of God as a weapon, but the Bible describes it that way. In fact, the book of Jeremiah describes the Word of God like a hammer. The book of Hebrews describes the Word of God like a sword. And it kind of reminded me of an experience that we've had over at the Heller household the last few weeks. My kids picked up an Xbox, and they have been teaching me to play Fortnite. Is that pretty cool or what? My fourth grader said to me, Dad, you are the coolest dad ever for playing video games with us like this. If you're not familiar with Fortnite, neither am I really, but it's a game where you go around and you pick up all kinds of weapons and ammunition, and then you go and fight and kill the bad guys. That's kind of the summation of it. Now, if you're an expert, forgive me if I didn't get all of it right, but that's kind of what you do. And in order to be successful in Fortnite, you have to have ammunition and weapons. I want to submit to you today that to succeed in the spirit, you have to have ammunition and you have to have weapons, because the Christian experience is a battle. It is a war. There's a battle for your family. There's a battle for your faith. There's a battle for your future. And we have to have the right weapons in order to be spiritually successful. That's why the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, has such powerful implications for us this morning. If you look with me in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 12 and 13, the Word of God is living and effective, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and spirit, joints, and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. And a little bit later in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the, say it with me, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes, and so the Bible is referred to as a sword. Now, the Bible is so potent and powerful because more than 3,800 times throughout the Scriptures, the Bible refers to itself as the Word of God. Maybe you've read it before, thus saith the Lord, or then, and God said, or some other variation or variants of that. So the Bible's own internal witness of itself claims to be the Word of God, the words of God, the words of God. And if it is the Word of God, then when the Bible speaks, God speaks. So we should cherish, we should respect, we should love, we should learn, we should study. Most importantly, we should apply the teachings of Scripture. Jesus is also referred to as the Word of God. Maybe you've read that in John chapter 1 or maybe Revelation chapter 19. Jesus is the Word of God. And while Jesus and the Bible are not identical, they are inseparable. You cannot pull them apart. Both have come from God. Both are unchanging. Both are the truth. Both are forever. Both are lights in a dark world. You cannot separate Jesus and the Bible, for they are both the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of Bible misunderstandings in our culture, and a lot of people have a lot of hot sports opinions about this is what the Bible is, or that's what the Bible is. And so I want us to look at three misunderstandings about the Bible and three truths about the Bible this morning. And we got a truth that kind of answers the objection of each misconception, if you will. So if you pull out your outline, you can kind of follow along with where we're going today, because there's a misunderstanding and a truth and a misunderstanding and a truth and so forth all the way through this particular passage of Scripture. But before we get back to Hebrews chapter 4, I want to look at Psalm 33:6. The Bible says the heavens were made by the what? By the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. Wow. People say, well, we believe in the Big Bang theory. You know, the world was created by a Big Bang. You know what? I totally affirm that. When God spoke, there was a Big Bang. There was a big collision that happened. Amen? I mean, it was like Shazam, kaboom, kabam, whatever you want to call it. God spoke, the breath of God came out, and the planets were put into orbit, and the galaxy started moving, and stars started shooting, and it was magnificent, and it began with the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. Listen to me today. If God's Word could breathe life into the universe, God's Word can bring life into your experience and into your hurt and into your pain. God's Word can change you. God's Word can give you hope and strength that you didn't even think that you had. And that's why the Word of God matters so much. Look again in verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the Word of God is living and effective, and look at this, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. In other words, the Word of God is dynamic and powerful. But here's one of the great struggles that people have. A lot of folks say the Word of God is not powerful. You know, the Word of God is not powerful. Maybe you believe. Maybe you've been told. Maybe you've thought your whole life. The Bible's just a fable book, you know, kind of like some stories and some nice little quaint sayings. I talked to a little 5-year-old girl here at the church, and I said, honey, what is your favorite Bible story? And you know what she said? By the way, I was expecting Moses or Elijah or John the Baptist or somebody like that. She said, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I was like, we are doing a bang-up job educating children here at Edge Church. I was like, we are killing it. Awesome. Unfortunately, a lot of adults, though, believe that the Bible is kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So the Bible's not really that potent or that powerful. But the Bible says this of itself, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. So here's the truth. The Word of God is dynamic and it empowers me. Hey, the Word of God is dynamic and it empowers me. Now, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we looked up at Ephesians chapter 6 a moment ago, and it's called the Bible the sword of the what? The sword of the Spirit, right? And so when you get the Word of God with the Spirit of God, you got the dynamic duo is what you got. The Spirit of God will never lead us to do something that contradicts the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work in a parallel fashion. So if we ever think the Spirit of God's leading me off over here, but the Word of God says this over there, we got to line those things up, and we got to go with God's Word. But the Spirit of God helps us understand the Word of God. And I believe the reason that a lot of people don't understand the Bible is because the Spirit of God's not in their life. When the Spirit of God is in you, when you read Scripture, it begins to make more sense. Now, I don't mean that every passage of the Bible is easy to understand and that you will have an instant answer for every single verse that you have a question about. But what I do mean is that in general, the Bible will begin to make a lot more sense than it did before. Okay, so we need the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and it's dynamic and it empowers me. It helps us fight temptation, right? If you're struggling with some type of addiction today, man, you need the Word of God. The Word of God will give you victory over temptation in your life if you'll begin to meditate on its precepts and its truths, and you'll begin to allow the teachings of the Bible to really get into your heart and into your soul. Man, you will begin to walk in victory over those temptations that have held you captive for so long. I love the Bible here because it would have been easy for the writers of Scripture to just refer to the Bible as something like a flower or a poem or something very quaint and cute and simple. But The Bible says it's a sword, man. It's dynamic. I mean, it's powerful. And furthermore, it's a two-edged sword. Now, the Word of God is sharp, it's dynamic, it's potent. And the sword that's being referred to is a Roman sword that was called a gladius. And a gladius in the hands of a skilled man was a fearsome weapon. It was the number one weapon in the first century. And the Roman centurions and the Roman guards had something that looked kind of like this. Well, oh, safety. Safety first, right? What was I thinking? Safety first. The gladius has a very pointed tip right here on the end, almost like a scalpel. And it was designed to pierce armor. But furthermore, it's double-edged. So the sword can cut you this way. The sword can cut you that way. It's a double-edged sword. If somebody stuck you with this sword, you're going to get lacerations on both sides. It's nasty. It's sinister. It's tough. It's impressive is what it is. Sometimes we think about swords like Braveheart type swords, like 4 feet long, you know, and that's great in the movies. But sometimes a short sword can be more precise and it can be more powerful because of its petite nature. And this is what the Bible's describing when it says the Word of God is like a sword, a two-edged sword. The Word of God gives wisdom into our life like a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It saves and it damns. It strengthens and it tears down. It makes alive and it puts to death. It cuts and it heals at the same time. That's the power of God's Word. It's two-edged. Not just one, but two. So the first century listeners would have understood explicitly what the apostle was writing about here in Hebrews chapter 12. He says here that it cuts to the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Well, the joint is that hard part of the bone, but the marrow is the inner part of the bone. Maybe you've heard of a bone marrow transplant where you take the inner parts of the bone, which are soft. The exterior of the bone is very hard and coarse. The inner part of the bone is soft, and yet the Word of God can cut through the hardness of the exterior of the bone into the interior of the bone and have something powerful and revolutionary to say to us. It cuts through. There's no cover-ups with God's Word. It cuts right through our excuses. It cuts through our traditions. It cuts through our comfort. It cuts through so many other things. And the Word of God pierces deep enough to show us the truth of our own thoughts, our motives, and our own self. It exposes and it reveals. It cuts through our anger so that we can receive the healing of forgiveness. It cuts through our pride so we can be humble. It cuts through our laziness so that we can be more diligent. It cuts through our own self-sufficiency so we can be more dependent. It's the Word of God. Now, some people say, well, maybe it's inspired by God, but maybe the stories are true, and maybe Jesus died on a cross, but is it really helpful? I mean, is there a way that a book that's thousands of years old could really have something fresh and relevant and appropriate for a 21st century audience? Is it helpful? Is it powerful? Is it helpful? I mean, is God's Word going to help me in some way? Look again in verse 12. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. No creature is hidden from Him. All things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And so the Bible judges us. And last week we talked about how the Bible judges us. God doesn't judge us just because He wants to beat us up. God judges us because He's trying to critique us, which means He wants us to grow and to mature. And you don't grow and to mature in your faith if you don't get critiqued. So the Bible sometimes points out some stuff in our lives that we don't really want to talk about or we don't really want to deal with, but if we will deal with it, then we'll grow and we'll mature and we'll advance in our spiritual growth and maturity. We're not fooling God. We can't keep our stuff hidden. He loves us unconditionally, and what God has for us is so great, but sometimes there's some pain that's involved in it. And he says, he exposes our heart. He says he judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Sometimes we hear people say, just do what's in your heart. You know, just do what's in your heart. And we think, okay, you know, but unfortunately, the heart can be deceptive, can't it? The heart can have some bad things in it. Jeremiah, the prophet, said it like this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who could understand it? I mean, the heart can be nasty. We all got some bad things in our heart sometimes. And we need God to reveal those so that we can be changed. Here's the truth. The Word of God is revealing, so it changes me. The Word of God reveals so it can help me change. It exposes us not to embarrass us, but to help us. I went to the dentist a few weeks ago, and I was praying, Lord Jesus, no cavities today. Sometimes I get cavities. I got a good checkup, praise the Lord. I was very happy. I did like a little Holy Spirit dance on the way as I left the dentist's office that day. They have this great technology today where they have this little wand thing. They can put it up to your teeth and they can determine if you have decay and a cavity. It's unbelievable what they can find, isn't it? And I was upset, though, a few visits ago because I had one new cavity and then one filling busted and they had to replace it. So I had to get two fillings done and I was kind of upset about it. And the dentist said, Ryan, it's better we get it when it's a little one, right? When it just starts. Because if you don't get your cavity filled, what happens? The cavity gets more sinister, doesn't it? And it just decays more of the tooth, and then you got more and more and more and more problems. And so it's so much better to get it while it is small. I think the Word of God works kind of like a dentist. The Word of God wants to point out our cavities where we have decay. But the intention is to get it while it's small so it doesn't fester and grow and become a nightmare for us, right? And so it highlights those things in our heart and in our spirit that aren't in alignment with God's will. It's like an X-ray. You can't deny it. I loved playing high school football, but I don't think high school football liked me that much. I got two broken bones in 2 years of varsity football. My junior year, I broke my funny bone on my elbow, and I had to go in for surgery, and I would never forget this. As a teenage boy, I woke up on the operating table while they were talking. The doctor and the nurses were like, yeah, screw it in tighter, you know, and they screwed my funny bone back into my elbow, and I could hear the drill. I couldn't see because, you know, they have the little curtain over you, and they're talking and all. It's kind of a weird feeling. Can't feel anything. It's all good. But you know, you can hear it all. You're like, what are they doing to me? Anyway, my arm works great, though. I got a great left arm. Praise the Lord. It's all good. My senior year, however, I broke my ischium, and I will not point to where the ischium is on the body because it's a very sensitive area in the posterior pelvic area of the human anatomy. I broke the ischium, and I could not sit down. For about 6 weeks in class, I had to lay on the floor because it was jacked up. And I went to the doctor. To my own disappointment, he goes, Ron, we don't do surgery on that part of the body. It'll grow back. You know, we can't do anything for you. And so I never really got treated back there, which is a blessing, okay? Because it's not like I really wanted to get treated back there. But, you know, today, many, many years later, I still walk with a little bit of a limp. Sometimes my hip still hurts, and I never ran as fast. I never jumped as high. All of my athletic career ended at that point. I was never the same. And when the weather changes, I'm like an 85-year-old man. You know, I feel it in the hip. I'm like, ooh, a norther's coming in. I feel it, you know. It's amazing. Crazy. It's crazy. I had two injuries. One injury, I got the appropriate help. Another one, I didn't. And I still got problems I think that when the Word of God reveals what's going on in our heart and our body, and we deal with it, we get the cavity before it grows, we screw our elbow back together, but when we ignore it and we deny it, many times we will walk with a limp. And a lot of people, spiritually speaking, are walking with a limp because they've never dealt with the stuff that the Word of God has revealed in them. We've never done it. So the Word of God is revealing, but the purpose is always to change us. It's always to change us. 1 John 1:9 says, the antidote to guilt and shame is confession. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, one of the most therapeutic things that we can ever do for our soul is to come clean before God and just say, God, I screwed up. I shouldn't have done it. I did it. I'm sorry, God. Great power, great freedom, great ability to not feel condemned and to live under the weight of shame and discouragement and fear and bondage. That's the power of God's Word. So the Word of God sifts through, it highlights, it shows us things in our lives. Maybe you've been in a Sunday service here at Edge Church, and maybe the Word of God has said something to you, or I've said something, and you're like, ouch, that hurt, you know? Or maybe you've heard a Bible verse, or maybe you're in a small group, or maybe you were reading the Bible, and you're like, ouch, I don't like that verse of the Bible. But listen, if we will heed what the Bible says, then we'll find healing and we won't walk with a limp. We won't do it. God's Word is helpful and it's revealing. Here's the third thing. Here's the third misunderstanding. God's Word is not relevant. I mean, can the Bible really say something to me today that could help my life? Is it relevant? The world is broken. And that's why the Bible says the Word of God is living and effective, is because it is so relevant. It was inspired by God, the breath of God, the same voice of God that inspired the creation of the universe, breathed life into the pages of Scripture. And the wisdom and values of the Bible are as powerful today as ever. The power of God's Word really never goes out of style. Have you ever noticed how things get obsolete so fast? I mean, you could download some software or an app on your phone, and then just months later, you got to do an update, right? I was going through the garage at my mom's house a few years ago, and I found a cell phone from the 1990s. It had the big, long antenna, like you could talk to Mars kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? And like the big control, and the reception was terrible, and it was super expensive. And even before that, I remember, and maybe I'm dating myself, when they had cell phones that were in suitcases. Do you guys remember those? And like you were like super bad if you had a suitcase you could carry it around. Now, the reception was so bad you couldn't hardly use it, but you looked cool carrying around your cell phone. It's pretty unbelievable. Things get obsolete so quick. God's Word never grows obsolete because it is the breath of God. It transcends culture. It transcends ethnicity. It transcends geography. It transcends spiritual background. It's the Word of God. And God's Word can say something so powerful to us this morning. And God could say something totally different from the same verse of Scripture to somebody else that lived in another continent, only because it is the Word of God and it has that power. Maybe you've read a verse in previous years and then you've gone back and read that in another year and you've felt like God has spoken to you out of that something different, right? That's because the Word of God is living and active. It has breath. It has life. It never goes out of style. Now, a few months ago, Gina came to me and she said, Ryan, it's time for a new hairdo for you. You need a new look. And I was like, all right, bring it on, because my wife is my number one fashion consultant. And she gives a lot of free advice to me. And she advised me I needed new hair. And I said, okay, make a suggestion. She went up and she pulled out a picture. And this is the picture that she showed me. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I was like, honey, that's Rob Lowe. And she's like, yeah, Rob Lowe. You know, she kind of like, woo, Rob Lowe, you know? Like, yeah, it's Rob Lowe. And I'm like, I was like, Rob Lowe might be the best looking dude that ever walked the face of the earth, but how old is Rob Lowe? She was like, I don't know. We looked it up. He's like in his mid-50s. And I was like, that's awesome. Because usually I get fashion sense from people younger than me, not people that are older than me, but it is Rob Lowe. I saw him on a television show. He was being interviewed by some women that were young women, and they were like drooling all over themselves. It was unbelievable, the impact. Rob Lowe in his 50s is looking awesome. It's been a long time since St. Elmo's Fire came out. But Rob Lowe has still got it going on, doesn't he? So I took that picture, and I went to the haircutting place, and I told the lady cutting my hair I needed a Rob Lowe special, and I showed her the picture, and this was the result. What do you guys think? That's pretty good, isn't it? I don't have to look quite as good as Rob Lowe, but I'll just, you know, maybe kind of walk in his shadow a little bit. I'm good with that. So now they call me the Rob Lowe special at the place I get my haircut. When I come in, they're like, Rob Lowe special. I got my boy a Rob Lowe special yesterday. And Rob Lowe just never goes out of style. The dude's probably going to be like 85 years old. And women are probably going to be swooning before his presence, you know, as a really old man. Because he looks so good. He never goes out of style. I want you to know today, the Word of God is better than Rob Lowe. The Word of God is more relevant than Rob Lowe is. It's more up to date than this amazing looking man. It really is. It's the Word of God. And it never gets old. And it never gets aged. And it never falls apart. It's always dependable. It is God's Word. So the Word of God is alive, and because it's alive and living, it helps me. Look at that in verse 12 again. For the Word of God is living and effective, not dormant and dead, but alive and living. The Word of God has breath, it has vitality, it has strength, it has life to it. It's living and active because the Word of God is from a living God, and a living God has given us the living Word. And that's why my hand right here can move. My hand is connected to my body, and my body is alive. And because my body is alive, my hand can move. The Word of God has vitality to it because it's connected to a living God. And a living God has brought about the living Word. That's why it matters so much. And it raises dead things, and it brings about dreams that have died and hopes that have gone away. Maybe there's things in your life you thought that could never be possible, that would never come back. Listen, when the Word of God begins to speak into your family and into your life, dead things can come to new life. Miracles can happen. Supernatural things begin to occur because it's all from the breath of God. It's all the milk of the Word. It's living and it's active. Only one book could do that. And it's not a self-help book. You know, self-help books are great to give us a little wisdom, work harder, be more organized, set a goal, whatever. I like self-help books. But self-help books don't tell us how. Not like the Word does. The Word of God tells us what to do, and it tells us how to do it. We accomplish the Word by His Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Romans 15:4 says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Do you know the purpose of the whole Bible was to give you hope? Isn't that beautiful? To give you hope. Maybe you came to church today and you're like super discouraged, bummed out, worried, anxious, uncertain. Take advantage of the weapon, of the tool that God has given to you, the Word of God. When you read the pages of Scripture, you will find hope. You will learn about the character and nature of God. Sometimes we have questions about who is God? Why does God do this? Why does God not do that? Open the Scripture. You'll learn the heart of God. When you learn the heart of God, you'll be in touch with the hand of God. With the hand of God. Helps me understand. The Bible is the great mood elevator because it encourages us so much and it gives us hope. I think we ought to all download the Word of God on our phone If we don't have that, we ought to read the Bible every single day. You know, if you're a hard copy person or whatever, that's awesome too. You can do that. We'll give you a free Bible today at church when you leave if you don't have one and you want a hard copy. But you could download on YouVersion.com and read God's Word every day. In fact, they'll even email you and remind you in case you forget. How great is that? We have more access to the Bible today than we at any time in human history. Did you know that? And yet people are more ignorant of the Bible. We ought to take advantage of every opportunity we have to learn every nuance and every truth. It's an awesome thing. Well, how can we build our faith? Get into the Word. Romans chapter 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. So if you want to build your faith, and you want to quit worrying so much, and you want to have more faith in the Lord, what do? Read Scripture. Apply Scripture. Look at Scripture. You know, it'll satisfy your soul, man. It'll help you. There's always been a war against the Bible, though. The French philosopher Voltaire, he died in 1778. This is what he said shortly before his death. 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. Whoa. The French philosopher, he got it wrong. He also lived in Switzerland, in Geneva, Switzerland. And you know what I read this week is that 100 years after his death, that the Swiss Bible Society purchased his home and set up their headquarters and began to print copies of the Word of God in the very home in which he lived. God is funny. I'm telling you, God is hilarious. Did you know since 1815, more than 5 billion copies of the Bible have been printed? Why would people keep printing the Bible? Because there ain't nothing like the Word. There has never been anything like it. There will never be anything better. Nothing can speak to the human condition and the heart of humanity like the Word of God. In China, they have banned online retailers from selling the Bible. You can buy other religious texts in China. You can't buy the Bible. You can't buy the Bible at a normal bookstore. The communist government won't allow it. And yet, by 2030, religious scholars believe that China may have more Christians than any other country in the world. You cannot stop the Word. The Catholic Church tried to stop the distribution of God's Word when Martin Luther was translating the Latin text into German so that normal people could read the Bible. And guess what happened? A reformation happened. A revolution happened. All because the Bible was unleashed. It's living. It's active. It has breath. It has life. It has life. And God will do the same thing in our generation that He did in Martin Luther's generation. God will do in our country what He's doing in other places of Asia and around the world today. If we will commit ourselves to the Word, if we will study the Word, read the Word, learn the Word, apply the Word, take out the Word as a sword and use it as God has purposed for us to do. God wants us to stay sharp by committing ourselves to this dynamic gift that He has given to us known as the Bible, the Word of God. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer?